Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When we think of 40 days of Lent, it's a time of preparation. So when I thought of what could I talk about in preparation, I was reminded of the story from David's life. Now, David had an army. David was on the run, as you remember, from wicked King Saul. And David was always one step ahead of trouble. But this time, trouble found him. He and his men had gone out, I guess, to battle or on a raid, and when they came back, they found the encampment, which they thought had been secure, this place at Ziklag, they found it completely razed to the ground, burned out, and all the women and children gone. Now, can you imagine what they felt like? The Bible says that when David and his men saw the ruin, they probably thought that the women and children were killed. They all sat down, these big strapping men, and they cried their eyes out. It says that they cried until they were all cried out. They didn't have any strength left to cry. Have you ever been in a situation like that, where life hits you and all you can do is cry your eyes out? That's the human condition, and we all share it. It doesn't matter whether we are Christian or not, whether we're faithful or not, we all share the human condition. And there are times when the only thing you can do is cry your eyes out. And that's what they did. But then something happened. After all the tears were expended, they could no longer cry. There were two reactions, and the first came from the men who were around him. They were ready to kill David. Now, that wouldn't have helped the situation. It wouldn't have brought the women and children back, but the Bible says they were so bitter that all they could think of doing was destroy this man who had led them. It says every man was bitter for his wife and his children. That was one reaction, and we all know that feeling when we are in grief and we feel such bitterness. Why did this have to happen? I didn't deserve it, or the person this happened to did not deserve this, and we can feel so bitter. But the Bible says that one person responded on his side. It says, David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Now that didn't happen overnight. He didn't just have an epiphany that day and think, well, I guess I'm going to decide to strengthen myself in God. This started very young in David's life. When David was doing the thankless task of taking care of his father's sheep, and it fell on him because he was the baby of the family and nobody else wanted the job. And I'm sure being a shepherd was very tedious work. And as he sat on that hillside tending the sheep, he was always talking to God. When he was sad, he would create a poem to God. When he was happy, he'd sing a song to God. Whatever state he was in, David was in constant communication with God on that hillside. And in the tedium of his work, he had a relationship with God. So when the chips were down and when things were going terribly wrong, he had a relationship to fall back on. He didn't have to worry about, is there a God or does God care about me? He knew about that because in the good times, in the quiet times, he had spent that time getting to know his God. And that's what I think Lent is all about. Some people tell me, and I've experienced here, that March can be a dead month. That's wonderful, because that gives us a time during Lent to really attend to our souls, to think about our relationship with God, and to tend to that which in the summertime most of us don't have time to even think about. So it's at this time that we need to tend to our souls. This lesson came home to me 21 years ago this January. In January of 1991, I was preparing to be an auntie, and I was very excited about it. My sister was pregnant with her first child. She had an uneventful pregnancy. Everything was going well. I came up for the birth and very excited about that, and we had the birth plan and all that good stuff. And we're sitting in the waiting room for the labor and delivery, and she was in a long labor, so we went back to their house to wait it out, my mother and I, only to get a phone call in the middle of the night that the baby was born and was stillborn. Little girl, perfectly formed little girl. Now you can imagine, we went to that hospital and we cried until we had no more strength to cry. And of course we had the questions, why us? Why did this have to happen? When you're pregnant, you're supposed to have a baby. You're not supposed to go home empty-handed. And I remember, of course, being there, not being prepared for a funeral. And this was in Rhode Island. My home was in the Bronx. So I had to go back home to collect clothing, because then I had to do the honors of burying that little girl. And I remember going home in absolute despair and anger, and crying because I couldn't do anything else. And I understood that concept of crying and crying and crying till you just can't cry anymore. And then I knew I had a choice. And what was so wonderful about this whole thing was that was not the time for me to wonder about theology. It was not the time for me to wonder about the existence of God. It was the time for me to lean on what I already knew. And the God of my childhood, the God of my young adulthood, the God who had brought me through so many things, I could lean on in that time. That's what it means to strengthen yourself in the Lord your God. In the good times, you do all the spiritual disciplines, so in the hard times, you have something to lean on. And one of my most delightful memories, if you can say that, of that time, was going home on the Friday, and I had to pack up, get everything, and get back to Rhode Island. And this was before ATMs. Now, they might have just started ATMs, but I had no clue what they were or how to use them. Banks were not open on Saturdays. You had to do all your banking when the banks were open, and they didn't care. Once they closed, that was it. And it was a very busy Friday in the Bronx, and I had to cash a check. And the bank was closed. I thought, I don't know what to do. And I'm scratching my head thinking, who do I know that has a couple of $100 laying around who could help me? Well, the person I knew was Mr. McNulty. Mr. McNulty was the funeral director right down the street. And I had done a lot of work with Mr. McNulty, Patrick McNulty. His son was Patrick McNulty Jr. And they ran this funeral home. And I thought, you know, funeral homes have a lot of money. So I walked to the funeral home and I said, Mr. McNulty, I have a problem. I have a check here, but I have no way to cash this check. And I told him my story. And of course, this man who had so much experience in grief spoke to me so kindly. And as he's counting out his 20s, you know, how much do you need? I have it all here. You know, he could have given me $1,000 right then and there. And he said something to me. At that point, he looked at me and said, now, you don't have to rush back. Everything that's happened has happened. He said, we only have one tragedy here. We don't need two. You need to take your time and be safe on the road. And he surrounded me. He and his son gave me such comfort and solace at a time when I needed it most. That's strengthening ourselves in the Lord our God, because God brings those people and circumstances around to help us. And I also had the privilege, not only of doing that funeral service, but then coming back home to my congregation where people said really dumb things. Have you been in grief and people say really dumb things? I heard things like, You would have loved that baby too much, so God took it away. I heard things like, God needed an angel. And I said, well, then take somebody else's kid. Things like that. And I was so horrified that a month later, God gave me the grace to stand up and preach about the God of love that I know that doesn't kill little babies, but that just life happens, things happen, and God gives us the grace to go through it. When we do all our spiritual disciplines, prayer and reading scripture, and sometimes it's tedious, I can admit that. There's sometimes I open the Bible and I fall asleep, and I'm a pastor. There are some times that I pray and all of a sudden my mind wanders. I understand that sometimes these disciplines are very difficult, but they are so vitally important, because when we're in trouble, we don't have the resources to open the Bible. Sometimes we can't even pray. All we can do is lean. And I'm here to say what a wonderful gift it is to be strengthened in the Lord our God in the tough times. There was a happy ending to David's story. He not only strengthened himself in the Lord his God, he prayed and he asked for guidance, and God gave him guidance to find the women and children that had been taken away, and they were all restored to David and his men. They rescued every one of them. There was even a happy ending in my life, because a year after baby Celia's death, we received the gift of Samuel. And Samuel is a wonderful young man. We have never forgotten that child, but we are so grateful for the gift of Samuel. When we hit up against tough times, do we have a relationship that we can lean on? In these 40 days, let us tend to our souls. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that you love us with an incredible love, that when life happens and things that are inexplicable happen to us, you are there for us to lean on. You summon the resources of grace to surround us. Thank you for that, Lord. And I ask that in these 40 days of Lent, that you will help us to tend to our own souls, to find that grace and that peace in your presence. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.